So our next speaker grew up in Pittsburgh, where his dad was a steel worker and his mom was a public school teacher. You have seen him on national television. He's on MSNBC all the time. You have read him almost every other day in the Wisconsin State Journal and the Capital Times with his devastating quick hits on Scott Walker. He is the leading national voice on the scourge of student debt. He is a funny guy, a brilliant guy, and my friend, and as of this week, an Iron Man. Please welcome Scott Ross of One Wisconsin Now.
Welcome to you. What's happening, everybody? Good morning, fellow progressives. Thank you to both Ruth Conniff and the Progressive Magazine and all of the Fighting Bob Fest family for inviting me here today. It is so great to be here with such a committed group of progressive fighters. Now, I was sad to hear that Bernie Sanders wasn't able to come and deliver one of those animated stem winders he's delivered here in the past. So I guess if I want to have a septuagenarian shout at me, I'll have to go over and try and panhandle on Mayor Soglin's lawn. So to introduce myself, my name's Scott Ross, and in my day job, I run One Wisconsin Now. And if you're not familiar with us, thank you, we are a progressive advocacy organization that from time to time takes the occasional friendly poke at the conservatives who are ruining our state and running our nation into the ground. We have been called screechingly liberal. We have been called socialist ankle biters. And we've been called a pro-union goon squad specializing in the dirtiest of mudslinging. And that's just what my mom would say. I'm kidding. My mom was a public school teacher outside of Pittsburgh. She worked there with, or she lived there with my dad, and he worked in the steel mills. As you may know, steel was the first American industry that was outsourced overseas. And my dad saw three mills that he worked in shut down. But I'm grateful because it was my mom's job, my mom's public school teaching job, my mom's union public school teaching job that kept us from losing our home and losing our hope. Now, my mom had health care because of her union public school teaching job. So when she started feeling lousy in the 1990s, she was able to go to the doctor and get checked. And they found cancer. But because my mom had real health care benefits that had been negotiated as part of her union contract, she was able to get treatment and survive for 15 more years before succumbing to the disease this March. And my mom had a good life because she had access to good union health care benefits because she was a proud union public school teacher. So when Scott Walker stripped away the rights of 175,000 public employees, just like my mom, and tells us it wasn't personal, I can tell you there is nothing more personal than that. It is Scott Walker who makes this personal. He attacks our workers. He steals their rights, and he steals their pay. He lies about supporting right to work, the wrong for Wisconsin right to work law that will cut household income by $5,000 a household. He slashes our public schools by $2 billion. He expands unaccountable private schools statewide. He refuses to take Medicaid money for health care, and he refuses to raise the minimum wage for our struggling families. He lets polluters foul our water and air, and lets his own corrupt thirst for power foul our state character. And no elected official in the history of Wisconsin has attacked the rights of voters to participate equally in democracy and the rights of women to have equality in the doctor's office and when they see their pay stubs as Scott Walker has. And no elected leader in our state's long history has sown the seeds of racial division and then feast upon that rotten fruit to his benefit than Scott Walker. So that in no state across this nation, more so than in Wisconsin, must we raise our voices loudly and unified to declare resolutely that Black Lives Matter. Personal? In a word, hell yeah. Now, in my day job, I don't tell people how to vote. It's not my job. I figure it's kind of my job to remind people how thirsty they are. We'll let someone else tell them what they should drink. But I want to talk to you about how I think we can take our state back and end this conservative nightmare and restore fairness and decency to public policy in the state of Wisconsin. I have a three-word solution. Student loan debt. Now, how do I know about student loan debt? Well, my name is Scott Ross, and I was a student loan debtor from 1987 to 2013. I made my last payment on my 44th birthday, June 14th, 2013. You may not know this. June 14th is not only Flag Day, it's also the birthday of Fighting Bob La Follette. And Donald Trump. Take that in. Fighting Bob and Trump were born on the same day. Now, even though I carried this debt in my 20s, 30s, and halfway through my 40s, I consider myself one of the lucky ones. And I think that tells you how bad it is for the other 43 million people in America, including close to a million in Wisconsin, who currently have student loan debt. And that 43 million probably includes many of you and your families here at this wonderful event. Now, I want to do an experiment, and I'm going to try and take a picture of this, okay? So will you all indulge me in this? And that is, and I want you to keep your hands in the air throughout this. Who in this audience is currently paying a student loan debt? Okay, now everybody keep your hands up. Who has somebody in your household paying a student loan debt? Who has made a student loan payment in the last 5 years? Who, keep your hands up. Who has kids who are paying student loan debt? Who has grandchildren who are paying student loan debt? Oh, and hell, this is Fighting Bob Bobfest. How many people have great-grandchildren with student loan debt? So look around and see how many people there are holding their hands up. And that's just part of the 43 million. You can put them down. 43 million people in America who have student loan debt. Now consider that population. There are 47 million people who get Medicare and 55 million people who get Social Security. And these issues take up a lot of the energy in the collective movement in the progressive movement as they should. And we need to add student loan debt for that. Because for people who are facing decades of student loan debt, who see a substantial portion of their take-home pay go to the banks and the federal government to pay student loans, you can't complain that they don't show up at the polls if you don't talk about the issue they face every single month. And let me just tell you something. This is a multi-generational crisis. 15% of that $1.3 trillion in student loan debt is held by people over the age of 50. And I am not kidding about this statistic. Last year in the United States of America, 155,000 seniors over the age of 60 had their Social Security payments garnished because of unpaid student loan debt. Yep. Now, if you go to One Wisconsin Now's Facebook page, and you can do it while I'm talking, if you go there, you're going to see a petition. You can join with tens of thousands of Americans who are petitioning the president to declare a moratorium on the garnishing of Social Security payments because of student loan debt. So go there and do that. You can do that during mine. Don't do it after the guy speaking after me. You should listen to him, but you can do it during my speech. So for over 5 years, student loan debt was the only debt that increased since the Great Recession. The Great Recession of 2007, right? Familiar with that? Okay, if there's any Rush Limbaugh fans in the audience, the 2007 Great Recession wasn't caused by the 2009 inauguration of Barack Obama. Now listen, we need to show our 43 million student loan borrowers that we're with them. By fighting for debt-free college for incoming students. And more importantly, by offering solutions, common sense solutions, for the 43 million people who have this unfair student loan debt. This debt particularly hits women and people of color harder than any population. We've got common sense solutions. Like, here's one. How about being able to refinance your student loan just like you can a mortgage? I mean, this is a plan that's championed on the federal level by Elizabeth Warren and Tammy Baldwin and Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore and Ron Kind. In state here, here in our state, we have the nation's best state plan for allowing the nearly 1 million student loan borrowers the opportunity to refinance their loans at a lower rate. Did you know that every single Democrat in the entire legislature co-authored the higher ed lower debt bill that would let you do that? Every single Democrat. That kind of support you don't see. I've been doing this here in Wisconsin for 20 years. I couldn't find a bill other than congratulating the Packers on a good season that had every single Democrat on it. But unfortunately, at the state and federal levels, Republicans have blocked it every step of the way. Led by our part-time governor, Scott Walker, they've gutted the University of Wisconsin and Technical Colleges by $700 million. Students are paying over $400 million more in higher tuition. They cut $38 million from financial aid. In fact, Governor Walker and the Republicans last year alone denied 41,000 people access to financial aid, students in need. That's enough people to fill Miller Park. And he's back at it again. We saw the drafting error and his disgraceful attack on tenure. And you know, just a quick aside on Scott Walker, if I may. I guess the only satisfaction that I get out of Scott Walker's refusal to help our student loan borrowers is that he's now at 2% in the Republican presidential primary. And you know, I've seen enough polls to know that in every poll, there's a margin of error of at least 3%. So that means two things. One, Scott Walker might actually have a negative level of support. And two, that he and I are statistically tied. And I don't even have a super PAC. Now we're seeing the pressure get to our esteemed governor. He's flipping, he's flopping, he's flip-flopping, and I think he even performed a flop-flip on issue after issue. In fact, one Republican said on immigration he's been in all three sides of the issue. Now, we know Scott Walker isn't coming back to Wisconsin, given the only way he'll make his promise of 250,000 jobs is if he puts people to work rebuilding all the bridges he's burned here. But the real burning question is, what will Scott Walker do next? I mean, the last time the guy was in the private sector was when the Packers signed Brett Favre. Now, some people say he's going to get some junior varsity right-wing talk show. Others say he'll get put into one of Michael Grebe's Bradley Foundation think tanks. And I can't see the next president of the United States, I gotta tell you, I can't see the next president of the United States, whether it's Martin O'Malley, or Joe Biden, or Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, putting them in their administration. I'll be completely candid with you. You paid your admission. A friend of mine says he thinks Scott Walker's gonna go into pornography. I guess anybody who can so effortlessly change his position in front of the cameras has a future in adult films. But back to my point, it's clear we didn't cross the $1 trillion student loan debt threshold because students and those returning for training have done the wrong thing. Instead, it's rising costs coupled with laws that allowed financial institutions to profiteer at the expense and hopes and dreams of middle-class Americans. We ignore this crisis at our peril. We waste the opportunity to organize the student loan borrowers into the most powerful progressive voting bloc this nation has ever seen. Now, we have elections in just over a year. And I remember when I said we haven't seen some of our elected officials stand up for student loan debt. Well, there's a guy who's serving his next to last year in the United States Senate, and that's Ron Johnson of Oshkosh. Now, Ron Johnson has repeatedly voted to block Senator Warren and Senator Baldwin's student loan bill. And when asked about the student loan debt crisis, Senator Johnson said, and I'm not kidding, that we need more for-profit colleges. Ron Johnson said student loans rack up debt because college is fun. And Ron Johnson said, when I went to college, I graduated with $7,000 in the bank, not $50,000 in student loans. Well, today, tuition at the public university that Ron Johnson attended is 1,700% higher than the $633 a year he paid when he went to college. And during his time in college, the minimum wage was raised 3 times by 50%. But then again, Senator Johnson, I think we can all agree he's not one of our brightest bulbs. I mean, this is a guy who thinks Roe versus Wade is how you cross the Yahara River. I know. We kid Ron Johnson, but it's only because we know he won't get the jokes. But that's his record on student loan debt. A joke. Now, we have elections coming up in November 2016, and the work you do until then will decide whether our state and our nation's greatness can be restored. Well, I can tell you there is a growing movement around student loan debt to make it central in the public policy debate. There are 43 million Americans and tens of millions more of their friends and families who are joining us in this fight. Student loan debt is the unifying issue for us and our generation, all of our generations. Standing up for borrowers to win their loyalty and their enthusiasm is there for the taking. What do the numbers say? In 2012, 3 million people voted, including 600,000 people here in the state of Wisconsin paying student loan debt. What happened? President Obama was elected by 220,000 votes. Tammy Baldwin is elected to shatter the glass ceiling in the U.S. Senate. In 2010, a little over 2 million people voted here. And those 600,000 student loan voters, more than half of them didn't show up. What happened? We lost the state Senate. We lost the state assembly. Scott Walker became the state's 44th governor. And dear God, Ron Johnson beat Russ Feingold. These student loan voters will make the difference. They will make the difference, and we need to make sure they'll do anything to get out to vote. In 2016, we could undo the gerrymandered legislative districts and wipe the smirks off of Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss's arrogant faces. We can make Wisconsin's Electoral College blue for the 9th straight election. And last and not least, we can send Ron Johnson back to Oshkosh. Back to his couch to watch Fox News. And back to spending his wife's money to call himself a captain of industry. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be here and allowing me to serve as a warm-up to our next speaker, Russ. Feingold. Have a wonderful rest of Fighting Bob Fest. And don't you stop fighting for 1 minute.
Russ, everybody. Yeah. Man, Wisconsin, I don't know, Scott Walker, Ron Johnson. Scott just reminded me of that wonderful moment when Ron Johnson was questioning the Secretary of Energy of the United States, who happens to be an MIT physicist, and asking him about a right-wing conspiracy theory known as electromagnetic pulse weaponry. He asked him very closely, "Do you know all the details of electromagnetic pulse weaponry?" Secretary of Energy scratched his head, said, no. He said, "Well, I'm going to send you some information." Johnson has a whole long list of right-wing blog posts that he's going to send. So he can explain what is literally, it turns out, the reason that people wear tinfoil hats. It turns out the senator from Wisconsin is a chief proponent of tinfoil hat Republicanism. That's how low things have sunk.